The first reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading is from Peter's first letter, from chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of all kind. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up and in your salvation, now that you have tasted the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone, and a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into this wonderful light. Now you are not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you have not received mercies, now you have received mercy." Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John chapter 10, verses 1 to 10. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
If you're missing your psalm, our psalm today is Psalm 23, and we're going to sing it a little later. It is Good Shepherd Sunday, the fourth Sunday in Lent in this year is always Good Shepherd Sunday. And so we think about good shepherds. But let's rewind, because before we get to the good shepherd, we get to the shepherds who are not really doing the right thing. Now, a long time ago, I had a friend who used to always forget to shut her front door. And she would forget to shut her front door, and nobody ever came in. It was annoying, because I thought, you know, I kept saying, "You need to shut that front door. Don't forget to shut your front door." And I really thought one day someone's going to walk in and rob the joint. But it never happened. But my other friend leaves their car unlocked one day. Purse, bag, the whole lot. Thieves take opportunity. Sometimes we're lucky. In inverted commas, because I don't believe in luck. I believe in protection. But sometimes we can do something which leaves the door open for the thief, but the thief doesn't come in. And that can happen many times over, maybe. But eventually, if the door is open and one of those opportunistic people comes past and tries it, we may just have a problem with a thief. Jesus talks about the thief here, but who is he talking to? Well, if you have a little look at our reading there, actually named them, but the reading right before it is John 9, and this is where the man born blind was healed. Remember the man that was born blind? He was healed and he was dragged in front of the Pharisees and the courts, and they were trying to work it out. And he said, well, this bloke healed me. It's real. And they said, oh, no, this can't be the power of God. And it all became very difficult and they would not see. So right before this, Jesus has said to the Pharisees who have been trying to prove that the miracle is not a miracle from God, because they don't want to see that. He tells them that they are blind. He says, I came into this world for judgment so that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind. And some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, surely we're not blind, are we? Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. Now what does that mean? That means that they are blind to the things of God. Because if someone got their sight back right in front of you and you knew they were blind beforehand, you might just think God was involved, mightn't you? But they did not want to see that. And when you don't want to see what God is doing, you can talk yourself out of it. We can talk ourselves out of believing. We can say, oh, no, I think that's probably just a coincidence. Maybe I was just lucky. Maybe this, maybe that. I think the reason why my friend's house was never actually robbed is because she is a committed Christian and she was so believing in God that she wouldn't always protect herself, but he protected her. I don't know whether she still leaves the door open. Haven't heard from her in a while. We lost contact a while ago. But the thing is that if we are going to say, oh, it's nothing, it's not a problem, and try to turn ourselves away, we don't get it right. And the thing about the scriptures is the scriptures often, they really tell us off. Have you noticed that? You read it and it goes, ah. And I know what's your first reaction to that? I know what mine is. My first reaction is, oh, is that me? Nah, it's not me. Can't be me. I don't do that. I never did that. And then you try and go around it, don't you? Because when something hurts, you try and go around it. If I hurt my foot, I'm going to limp because I don't want to put my foot down, right? So if it hurts, we're going to try and go around it. And so we talk ourselves out of stuff. That's not really so bad. It isn't so bad. I know I lied, but I needed to lie because, fill in the rest of the sentence. This is what the Pharisees were doing. And the reason why they were doing it is because they had their eyes on the law, and that is scripture, yes. But they were not looking at the lawgiver. They had their eyes on all of the rules. And the rules say this and the rules say that and the rules say the other thing. And we don't want to break those rules, so we've added our own rules. And they were so busy keeping the rules that they were looking here, not there. You know, in our lives, we have to look to the law. When Jesus talks about being the shepherd of the sheep, he talks about the fact that the sheep know him. Now, I've only been here about 7 weeks. Do I know you yet? Only way to get to know you is to meet with you and hang out with you a bit, isn't it? I know a few of you. I've hung out with a few of you. Some of you may be sick of me already. I don't know. Got one. But I've got to get to know you, don't I? And the only way to do that is to actually meet up with you, sit down with you, talk to you. This is how we get to know one another. If I stop talking to you, we're never going to get to know one another, or we may have known one another, but like me and my friend, I don't know what's going on for her now because I haven't talked to her for so long. And then you drift apart because your eyes are on something else and you're listening to someone else and you're spending time with someone else. And that means I don't necessarily know as well as I used to. And sometimes for us as Christians, we've known God very well. We've spent a lot of time with the Lord. We've prayed a lot. We've read our Bible. We've come into that relationship. But over time, other things have taken our attention. And we've listened to those and we looked at those. And the voice of the shepherd becomes a little bit less familiar to us, because we've been looking over there. There's a fantastic meme I saw. It's a guy sitting on a deck chair, and in front of him he's got his phone, and he's got his earphones on, and he's watching YouTube clips, and he says, and Jesus is standing right next to him, and he says, "I don't know, never hear from God anymore." We need to pay attention to the voice of the one who knows us by name. Did you know that Jesus knew you by name the moment you were born? In fact, he knew you by name before you were born. He has known you all your life, whether you've known him or not. And the thing about the shepherd and the sheep is that this illustration for us is hard, because we're used to sheep stations with thousands of sheep and one shepherd, or maybe two, on their dirt bikes chasing the sheep with their dogs and not knowing their sheep, aren't we? We herd huge amounts of sheep in this country, but the shepherds in Jesus' day, they only had a few. They only had the ones that they could handle. And they knew every one of them by name. And every one of them knew the shepherd's voice. Did you know that a sheep can learn the face of up to 40 people and remember their voice? They're not as dumb as they sound. Isn't that good? After all, we get called sheep. Did you know also that if one sheep goes in one direction, they all go in that direction? Exactly. You're right. I went on my honeymoon, many moons ago. My husband and I decided, because I'd had a prang in the car, we went across the Nullarbor Inn, and the one we were in, we didn't think we'd go that far, that we'd just jump in the car and just head off. Anyway, being him, we ended up a broken hill on a sheep station, sleeping in the shearer's quarters, because he talked his way into the place. And so they said, "If you're up at the right time, you can come out the sheep with us." So we went, because they were out docking the lambs, you know, taking off their tails so they wouldn't get fly. Anyway, so we're there, and we're watching them herd these sheep into the yard. And one sheep ran around the corner, and the next one ran around the corner, and the next one ran around the corner, and the next one went straight ahead, bang, into the fence, and then went, "Oh, this way." And you know what? Every other sheep after that one went bang into the fence. They went, oh, this way. Sometimes I think the reason why we get called sheep is because we're really good at following one another and banging into the corner instead of going the way we need to go. Because you've got to have your eyes open. You've got to have your ears open. The shepherd would bring his sheep into a sheepfold sometimes. Sometimes they were outside overnight, and sometimes they were in a sheepfold. And Jesus is talking of a sheepfold here, which is just like a paddock with a wall around it. But the shepherd slept always at the gate so that anybody coming in would fall over him. And then he'd know they were trying to get to his sheep. And so that the sheep wouldn't go out, because they'll only jump when they have to, and they weren't going to jump him. The shepherd would always stay by the gate. And this is why Jesus says, I am the gate. Come in through me. I am the one who has the right way. But there's a lot of things and a lot of people who will take you the wrong way. And there are others who will jump the fence to pinch your sheep sometimes. And there are wolves that want to come in, always trying to steal the sheep. And these things are not the shepherd. There are those who will try to call the sheep. Come over here, sheep. Come on, you follow me. But they don't know the sheep's name. There are others who will just rustle sheep. We know that people get their sheep pinched all the time. But the shepherd has a relationship with the sheep. They know his voice. He knows them by name. They follow him when they're out and about and they're not in the sheepfold. He walks ahead of them, not behind them making them go, but ahead of them saying, come on, come with me. And then he has his shepherd's crook. And I was going to bring my shepherd's crook and I left it by the front door. Not actually a shepherd's crook, but it's a great walking stick with a hook on the end. And what does he do with his shepherd's crook? Well, you know, when they bang into the fence and they walk off dazed and they land in a bush or thorns, he can use the hook to hook his sheep out of the thorns and bring them back to safety. In the shepherd's psalm, it says, your rod and your staff, they follow me. So we have the shepherd's crook, which is the rod, and we have the staff. And the staff is a long stick that you walk with so you don't lose your footing. You know, our shepherd never loses his footing because he's always got his staff. The shepherd never loses his footing. That's what a walking stick is for, isn't it? So you won't lose your footing. And if you have your footing right, you can lead on a very rocky path and the sheep are still going to be safe because they're going to walk where you walk and follow you. And in the middle of the night, when you are out in the shepherd's field, the sheep will lie down around you because they're going to get close to the one who protects them. And when it's very dark and it's very scary, you can call out with your voice because they know your voice. And you can touch them with this long staff on the back and say, I'm still here. See, you can feel me. I'm still here. I'm going to let you know I'm here. This is Jesus, isn't it? This is Jesus. This is how he works with us. When you're in a scary place and you call out to Jesus, he will be there. And sometimes scary places are hard to work through because we always have that side of us that will be afraid and not believe that he's there with us. One of the temptations when you really have it overtaking you is to decide he's really not there. Because how could he be here when all of this has happened? How could God be good when all of this has happened? But the shepherd leads the sheep on rocky paths as well as smooth ones. Sometimes the path is not smooth. Life isn't all the roses. Sometimes it's the thorns. shepherd will lead you. But we have to recognize that fear is a thief. Fear is a thief. It lies to us. It says you have to listen to that person and please them rather than pleasing your shepherd, because that person is going to get angry at you now. Instead of, this is what the shepherd wants me to do and I will do it, because he is faithful. Fear is a thief. Lies are thieves. The things that 1 Peter tells us. Why is he so strong in his language? Rid yourselves. Not just, don't do this, it's not good. Rid yourselves of all malice. Malice is that bit where you don't like someone and you want to get them. It's anger turned into nastiness. Or guile. Guile is all about lies. Things doing a bit of an escape. Guile is all about lies. Somebody always wants to correct it. It's okay. Because guile is all about, see, some people are very, very nice. You know the people who are very, very nice. They're so nice to your face. But when you turn your back, they're not. Guile is being nice to your face and being lovely and hiding what's going on inside. And when you turn your back, you find out that person has been engaging in lies. That's a thief. Insincerity. A lot of insincerity goes on sometimes when people say, I'm sorry. They don't really mean it. That's very insincere. You know, you've got to mean it when you say sorry. Otherwise, it's not a real sorry. When I say something and I don't really mean it, I'm insincere. That is a form of lie. And it's often born out of fear. Envy. James tells us that if I want what you have and you won't give it to me and I'm envious of it, my next step is to want to take what you have and work out how to get it. Envy has led to all sorts of crime over the years, hasn't it? Is that a thief? And it destroys and kills. And slander. Slander is that wonderful thing when you call somebody else all sorts of horrible names to someone else. You might not do it to their face. But when you start talking about someone behind their back and saying bad things about them, which are not true, you're slandering them. When you say something about them which is bad and it is true, you're still gossiping. Hello. Neither of those are good. Talk to the person. Got an issue? Talk to the person. Jesus says, come to me. Go to him. He will help you to deal with the pain of whatever has happened, and then talk to the person if you can, although not all people are safe to do that with. And it's important to know if they're not safe, you don't have to talk to them. Because I don't believe God wants us to put ourselves into physical danger. Christian is not spelt D-O-O-R-M-A-T. It's spelt love and grace. It's spelt all forgiveness. It's spelt truth. It's spelt justice and mercy. But we do have to decide when something is safe and when it is not. And sometimes the only thing is to stand back and forgive and let it go. And move on, because you can't go to that person. And that does happen sometimes. It is important to say that, because I think sometimes we get guilted into feeling like we have to go to the person, and then we get further harm because that person hasn't dealt with what's going on in them. And whatever thief has been stealing from them, they have to deal with. And sometimes we're not the person to help them do that. Wisdom is part of what God gives us. And the shepherd will bring you wisdom. So, the thief breaks in. Sometimes the thief comes through the open door of the thing that we chose to do when we knew it wasn't God. Sometimes the thief climbs over the side and tries to steal us away in the night because he wants us to be afraid of the darkness around us when Jesus is the light. Sometimes the thief will use the religious stuff to hold us in a place where we're so busy keeping the rules that we've forgotten about the rule maker. Just as the Pharisees were being stolen from because of that. Sometimes the thief is on the outside and we know he's there. And at that point, Jesus is still our safety and the one we go to. And sometimes we leave our door open, and because he is our safety and we have relied on him all our lives, he comes and shuts us and stays there. Care for us. But we have to have him there to show us that the door is open. We have to work with him. Now, kids are absolutely bored up the front there. I can see them wiggling in their seats. But that's okay, up the back there. Front, back, used to be the front. So I've got a little thing for you guys to do because I really thought that we needed something to eat today because we're going to have lunch, right? So I baked this morning some cupcakes. Cupcakes, they're a little sunken because I jumped out, brought them out of the oven and chucked them in something and they're a bit, but they should be okay. And I've also baked some biscuits. Okay, so the biscuits, some of them are round like a sheep's body and some of them are like the door or the gate. Okay, I've also got some frosting, some icing, God help us, some, some milk bottles. I was going to use marshmallows, but I couldn't find the little ones. Milk bottles. Now, sheep have fleece, so icing isn't enough. I think we needed some milk, something to make the sheep all lumpy like their fleece. And I thought that maybe these could become sheep. And we've got some chocolate chips to make eyes, because you have to have eyes. And we've got some coloured things to make them very colourful. And we have some chocolate icing. And we have lots of paper on the floor. You're going to be very careful and not get it everywhere, aren't you? Not promising. Good on you. Never promise what you can't deliver. All right, so go for it. As we come to our worship, as we let the kids get themselves sorted over there and they can get into this, mums are going to watch over them. Okay. As we come into worship, as we come now to worship the shepherd, let's come first in prayer. So let's just pray together now. And I ask you guys, we're going to pray for a moment, so if we'll just keep that down, and I've still got a biscuit. Lord Jesus, thank you for being our shepherd. Thank you that you know our names. Thank you that you know each one of us inside and out. Thank you that all you want us to do is reciprocate in knowing and following you, and you will be our guard, and you will lead us. Help us, each one of us, to know what the doors are in our own life and to come to you, the only true gate, to shut the door and keep us safe. Help us, Lord, to know how loved we are because you have loved us with an everlasting love and you are the good shepherd who laid his life down for his sheep. Let's worship Jesus. Amen.